Welcome to Intuitive Eating for Christian Women. I'm your co-host, Erin Todd. I'm a writer and an intuitive eater.
And I'm your co-host, Charlie Castle, registered dietitian and exercise physiologist. We're here to help you discover whole health for your mind, body, and soul.
That's right. Our goal is to embody scripture, ditch dieting, and live on purpose.
Woo! Woo! Yes, girl.
Welcome back, friends. We are so glad you're listening today to our conversation with Jeff Ash. Jeff is a nutritionist, intuitive eating coach, trainer, and host of the Men's Intuition podcast, where he seeks to encourage other men and women to transform their relationship with food, exercise, and body, all without restriction, guilt, or shame. So today's episode might even feel a little bit like intuitive eating for Christian men. This episode is brought to you by our membership. Do you want to experience the power of community? Check out our membership. You can try your first month for just $1. To learn more and join, head over to intuitiveeatingforchristianwomen.com/membership. Before we jump into our conversation today with Jeff, as a reminder for all of our podcast episodes, this program is for informational and educational purposes only, and it is not a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice. Our aim is to introduce you to the principles of intuitive eating and help you see how those principles align with scripture, so you can improve your relationship with food, your body, and God, and cast out dieting for good. Hey, good morning, Jeff. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So we need you to do a full introduction here because God's story and food story doesn't seem like it's going to be enough when we've got our first male voice on the show. You have that distinction. So tell us all about you, please.
Well, wow, that's I'm honored and excited that it's kind of funny because I've told a number of people about your podcast and shared it in some Christian fitness groups and stuff that I'm in. And it's kind of funny that I'm like, oh, there's this great podcast that I listen to called Intuitive Eating for Christian Women. So not only do I listen to a number of podcasts that are pretty specifically geared for women in general, but this one it's explicitly in the name that it's for Christian women. And yet I still enjoy it. So I may be your only male listener. I don't know, but maybe we'll get some more men listening to it because you guys really do provide some great insight.
Oh, so thank you. Well, maybe you can talk to that other guy if there's two of you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. My name's Jeff Ash, and I'm a nutritionist and personal trainer. And in just a few short weeks, I'll be officially certified as an intuitive eating counselor. So I've been working through that process the last couple of years, and so that's been really good. I have my supervision part with Evelyn Tripoli 2 weeks from today, actually starting. So that's going to be really exciting.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And then I have a Instagram account that I where I focus my attention on spreading the information and the word and about intuitive eating specifically for men. So it's intuitive.eating.men, and so that's been something where, you know, as you both are aware, intuitive eating is not the most common, most popular in the male community. It's typically geared, and the message seems to be targeting a lot of women who have struggled with relationship with food and body and those kinds of things, and it resonates well with them. But it actually resonates really well with men too once they realize that it's not just a female thing. So that's been really exciting to see that and to pick up some good steam there in that area.
Yeah, well, and I'm just thinking of what an amazing resource that is for. I mean, I can't tell you how many times the conversation with clients or listeners or anybody goes to, you know, how do I share this with my husband, or how do I, you know, get my husband to kind of see this and be on board? And, you know, like you said, their husbands might be a little standoffish to listen to the podcast Intuitive Eating for Christian Women.
Yeah.
But maybe they'll check out this information that's geared towards men. So what an amazing resource.
Well, and I do have one that's specifically aimed at men. So it's called Men's Intuition. And I, of course, I do have a lot of women listeners also, but that podcast is specifically from the male perspective. I try to have more men than women on there. So far it's been about half and half as far as my guess, but I'm trying to help guys to just understand that this is not, you know, it may have started with women. There may be more women who resonate with it initially, but when we just stop and reflect back on our own life, our own relationship with food and those kinds of things, and just take a minute to actually let down some of those walls that this guys like to put up, we realize that, you know, this is not, it's not even remotely just a woman thing. It's very much a human thing. And something that, from a Christian perspective too, it really resonates with scripture and with the design that God has put in each one of us.
Absolutely. I mean, diet culture affects everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so prevalent in the church too. That's what's frustrating. It's, you know, it's one of those things that it's almost been spiritualized, this health and fitness idea. I had a conversation probably a year ago in a Christian fitness group where they were asking, can a pastor be fat and be a fit pastor? You know, these kinds of things. And some of the comments were pretty shocking.
Yes. The enemy has been very tricky with this one because it's very easily disguised as science and caring about people's health. And there's so much misinformation that, you know, so many people are very well-meaning in including a message of health or whatever that is from the pulpit. They think that they are doing the right thing often. So it's really, really, really messy. And there's a lot of unlearning and learning some new information that the church needs to do.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
So Jeff, go ahead, Aaron.
I was just curious to follow up on that kind of the Christian fitness group. And just like what that conversation is, because I feel like talking about, short of listening to a podcast like this or one like yours, Jeff, I feel like these conversations aren't really happening in church a lot. And I'm just wondering, like, why you think that is, and what are some things that are barriers to that we need to be working on breaking down?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think a lot of it is that the church is not all that different than the culture around us, unfortunately. And I think that's what really what it comes down to. And I think that a lot of people apply these principles that we hear from outside the church to the church, to the Christian life, because, you know, a lot of Christians, they want to live a life that's pleasing to God. I mean, I think it comes from a good place. It's not that. But I think we sometimes confuse what that means, you know, like the size and shape of our body. It's like, oh, that's all about self-control. So there's like this misunderstanding that then gets lumped into scriptures about, you know, we should be self-controlled and that, you know, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit and these kinds of things. And so then you immediately say, oh, well, if you're fat, then you have no self-control. So therefore you're in sin, you're a glutton. And then there's a lot of misunderstanding of, you know, what is gluttony? And unfortunately too, you also get messages from pastors. And I heard one recently who's an apologist. He's a wonderful apologist and incredible. And he was talking about health and nutrition, and everything he was saying was completely misguided. And it came from a good place, but he didn't know what he didn't know. And so what he was saying was not, it sounded spiritually good, but it wasn't in alignment with reality of what relationship with food is and these other aspects that we understand that may not be specifically addressed in scripture. So I think that sometimes pastors cross the line and And then people in the church also, again, it's just, I think a lot of it comes from that misunderstanding, that seeping of our outside culture into the church and all of those kinds of things. And it shows up in fitness groups, you know, everything from comments, like I said, where people are saying that, you know, a fat pastor is may not be fit to be pastoring, as if the unforgivable sin is being fat, or that, you know, that. I mean, we all struggle with different areas of our life that, you know, whether the pastor's weight is related to maybe a problem with gluttony or not, that doesn't, you know, we all have our areas of struggle, including our pastors. And so anyway, that would, you know, that's a whole other discussion. But yeah, I think that's one of them. And then I think, too, you know, we still have this fixation on appearance ideals. I mean, the scriptures address these specific areas, you know, like in 1 Peter 3, where it talks about your beauty shouldn't come from outward adornment and jewelry and hairstyles, and 1 Timothy 2, and dressing modestly, and again, not adorning ourselves with these outward things, but adorning ourselves with good deeds and the gentle spirit and those kinds of things. So the scripture does specifically address those, knowing that those are things that we're going to be all struggling with. But yeah, that's where I see a lot of that problem.
Yeah, definitely. I think the church not being that different from the culture was like the perfect way to express that. Mm-hmm. You nailed it with that. How heartbreaking that is. Mm-hmm. To think, yeah, that we're not that different, when in fact that is kind of the point.
We should be. We should be spearheading this whole thing that's being promoted through the intuitive eating movement, body positivity, and these kinds of things. But yet, unfortunately, we're not. We're a lot of promoting MLMs and all this kind of stuff inside the church as a spiritual, like health and fitness as a spiritual discipline, really.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned it, so I do want to go there. This came up the other day, and I have heard rumors. I haven't witnessed it myself, but apparently there's quite a few rebranded and rebooted MLMs that are just very, very diety, sweeping through churches. And that is that is the first wave. Like, they're going into churches before they're going elsewhere, which I found to be very alarming. And so I'm curious if you've noticed that, and just what your take on that is.
I wouldn't say I've noticed it any more so than in general. I think that it's often the case, and I think it comes from a very good place. You know, a lot of, and not to stereotype, but it tends to be more women that fall into these MLM things. And I think it's because they're trying to provide for their family in a way that doesn't involve going outside the home and taking away from what they're trying to do and build in the home. So I think it's great. I think it comes from a very, very good place. I just think that it's unfortunate that there's so much of this. You know, even if the MLM itself wasn't a problem, because most of them, well, all of them really are problematic from just a structural standpoint, but the misinformation that it's promoting is really bothersome. And so, you know, when you have things like Herbalife and that are promoting dangerous practices, or even it's just promoting things that aren't true. Mm-hmm. So I think as Christians, we need to be so careful that what we're speaking is actually true. Even if it's maybe not necessarily inherently harmful, if it's not true, we shouldn't be saying it. And so I think that that's one of the unfortunate things with the MLMs, and that they have this sort of shiny, hey, you can make some money from home without having to take time away from your kids and your family. And that's great, but it's unfortunate. But I can see why they would be targeting churches in particular and getting in there, because, you know, I would say that it's more often than not that Christian women are more interested in that you see in trying to stay home and do those kinds of things.
Yeah, let me be clear there. Full disclosure, I was totally sucked into one of those diet MLMs too before I started my intuitive eating journey. So mm-hmm. I'm not saying that at all from a place of judgment. I definitely agree. And everything you said was right. It's like, I want to contribute to my family, and this seems like an easy way to do that without upsetting the apple cart. I think you're totally right too, that you know, it's coming from a good place. And I really appreciate mm-hmm. that you kind of pointed that out with the not just the MLM folks, but just the pastors and everybody else in church, like everybody really is. And I have to constantly remind myself of this because diet stuff, you know, raises my blood pressure, gets me angry. And then yeah. I remember like they are coming from a good place. And it's just really, it's challenging to me to try and constantly remember that and, see the best in people and figure out how, to love on people that maybe we don't agree on food, and body things, but you know, they're still brothers and sisters. And, I think if we're going to be different, than the culture and different from the culture within the church, which is a little bit diet culture-y, I think loving on those people that we are, not in agreement with is probably the best place to start and needed soapbox rant.
Yeah. Well, Karen and I have talked a lot about, you know, that it's really about meeting people where they are and finding what we do agree on. Mm-hmm. So I think we all agree that we are to be good stewards of our body. We all agree that we want to take care of ourselves, you know, so let's find that ground that we agree on. And now we might think that we do that in different ways. And now mm-hmm. let's have some, you know, respectful conversations there and work through that. But I, you know, just to be honest, it took us a little while to get there because we've been hurt by diet culture and frustrated by that and watch other people be hurt. And we don't want to see anyone else fall into that trap. And so the defense kind of comes up a little bit. And so we've really been praying and, you know, asking God to help us find that middle ground, help us show up respectfully and figure out how we can work together through these things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just like all of us, you know, I came from a fat loss coaching background, and it was from a good place. I was really trying to help people and realized that the approach that I was using was, while it sometimes seemed to work okay and didn't seem to be super harmful, it just was. In other times, I definitely could see how it was. And so, you know, I made that transition as well. I made the transition with my attitudes about mental health and all kinds of things. You know, it took my first wife passing away in 2010 for me to actually realize that, oh yeah, you know, when somebody is depressed and struggling with that stuff, that it's not just, well, just stop being depressed and move on. There's a little more to it. So, you know, I had that kind of gut punch myself in that particular area. So I think there's all kinds of different areas of life and that, I guess from, you know, just a good summary of it would be to just, we need to be open to learning new things. And, especially, you know, intuitive eating, it's very countercultural, but, as an example, you know, if it doesn't go against scripture, then we should be open to that. Mm-hmm. Especially if it aligns with scripture, which I think intuitive eating does in many ways. We should even be more open to it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jeff, I want to hear a little bit about your God story, your food story. I'd love to hear, you know, how you specifically kind of maybe issues or topics that really resonate with men. Mm-hmm. I just have so many things I want to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. I'll try not to get rambling too much, but yeah, I was raised in a incredible Christian home. Dad was a pastor, so I was a PK. I didn't go off too far, as sometimes is the stereotype with PKs. But yeah, my dad was the epitome of a godly servant, Christ-like person. My mom, the same thing. And, you know, so my first experience around God and Christianity was 100% positive. My parents lived exactly in front of other people as they did at home. They never fought, literally, in the almost 50 years that they were married before my dad passed away. So, I mean, these are pretty amazing things. So I had a very strong foundation there. And also, when it came to the food side of things, my mom was very much of the mentality that, It wasn't officially the division of responsibility, but it was really close. It was she did have the one bite rule of a new food. No biggie. That was like the most pressure I had as a kid was every once in a while there'd be a new food. But in general, it was eat what you want. You don't have to clean your plate. She accommodated and put raw veggies on the table, so that because I didn't really like cooked ones when I was younger and those kinds of things. So I very much had a very easygoing food relationship myself growing up. And I was involved in sports and stuff, and so the emphasis was just on eat, when you're hungry, and so I kind of grew up with a naturally good relationship with food, and then as far as the rest of my God story, growing up in a Christian home, it's very easy to just think of yourself as a Christian. It was summer camp was where I actually gave my life to Christ at a younger age, but really didn't do a whole lot with that until I was a young adult and had been through some things I shouldn't have been through, as young adults often do. And then actually it was my first wife who really got me kind of back moving in the right direction. And so that's when I started really growing in my faith and getting involved in ministry and those kinds of things. And over the course of my adult life, I've been a children's pastor and worship leader and those kinds of things, and always been involved in ministry one form or another. So that really is kind of where it all started for me. And it's been very natural to move into then serving others in a coaching relationship as well, and especially with intuitive eating because of just the nature of it, where it really gets to the core of the person and what they're struggling with and how to address those underlying issues. And I don't work with just Christians, and I really don't even emphasize the Christian aspect of it in my messaging, but I love working with Christians in that coaching relationship, because then I can bring in the spiritual aspects, which I think is a really helpful thing to be able to bring into that coaching relationship, especially when you're talking about what you think about yourself and your body image and all of those kinds of things. So I did have a stint where I was kind of into bodybuilding, and I did one of those 12-week transformation challenges a number of years back, where you basically see who can starve themselves the most and get the leanest and take your little before and after pictures and all that stuff. And so I went through my phase of that for a number of years. But again, since I had that strong foundation growing up, it didn't really mess with my relationship with food to the extent that many people do struggle with it. And so I was really fortunate in that aspect, that it was very easy for me to just quit tracking after 6 or 7 years of counting calories when I transitioned into intuitive eating. So it wasn't this painful process of switching basically back to the way I had grown up my whole life, which was eating relatively intuitively. So that's a sort of rambling summary of my God story and food story sort of in one.
Yeah.
Can you tell us, Jeff, a little bit about what was it that helped you transition into intuitive eating? How did you discover it? Like, when did that happen for you?
Yeah, it's really, well, the way that it happened for me was, so in my nutrition training, I was very interested in working with whole families, kids, teenagers, and kind of the entire family as together, because I think we can all attest to the fact that when you get the entire family on board with something, that it's much easier for everybody involved to actually implement that stuff. And so regardless of what it is. And so, if you have one person in the family who's eating a certain way, who's keto, and the other one who's counting calories, and another one who's trying to be vegan, and another one who's trying to eat intuitively, and all this, it's just a mess. So my thinking on it was, hey, this would be great if we could come up with a way to work with the entire family. Of course, at that time, I was still very much in the fat loss mindset, where, if somebody is overweight, beyond a certain weight, then the goal should be to get them down to a certain size for health reasons and that kind of thing. But in the process of that, I got exposed to Ellen Satter's work and the division of responsibility and all of that. And that's really where I got introduced to the non-diet space and the weight neutral approaches. And I just fell in love with it. I was like, yeah, this is amazing. This makes so much sense. This aligns with everything that I went through with my own counseling after losing my first wife, and the counseling that I did with families and kids when I was a children's pastor and a camp counselor and camp directors, and everything that I had done over the course of my life, really, this all just made sense that this is how human beings are, mm-hmm. and how God designed us to be. And so in the process of that, I was like, okay, so all these other fat loss coaches and friends of mine who are great people, they're really trying to help people. Most of them were very opposed to putting kids on diets or teenagers on diets. And yet, as soon as they turn 18, it's like if they're 17, it's not safe to put them on a diet. But once they turn 18, then we can put them on a diet for health reasons. And so that just did not make any sense to me. I'm thinking, what is the difference here? This doesn't make any sense. And so I really kept looking into these non-diet approaches, and that's when, again, more of Ellen Satter's work, and then more then learning about intuitive eating and all of that. And I just really resonated with the 10 principles of intuitive eating specifically. I just love that framework and how they align and how each principle just really builds on the others and support each other. And then also how it aligns with just the way it's very clear that God created us to function.
Yeah. So I love the idea of working with the whole family. Yeah, that's definitely the approach to take when you're working with eating disorders. Mm-hmm. With so many things. And so I'm just thinking about, like clients are flooding my mind, people that have been just, I'm the only one in my family wanting to do this, and kind of the struggle there. So I'm curious, what kind of advice would you give someone who's kind of wanting to make this change in their family, or maybe introduce the ideas of intuitive eating? Maybe they've, been on diets and pulled their family through the diets with them, or how do you kind of start working with a whole family?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I have actually been able to do that some, which has been really cool to see. One case that comes to mind was a father and teenage son that were working together with me, and that was a really cool experience to help the dad makes some changes in the way that he was approaching the relationship with food, as well as the son, and then to see that kind of unfold into this just new way of looking at food and a much more relaxed relationship with food in general, with both of them, and to see those changes and in some other families as well. And so I think one of the things that we have to be really careful of is, it's so easy when we are enlightened, so to speak, we learn about something, like, oh my gosh, this is the thing that needs to happen in my family, and then to steamroll everybody and to force them all into that. And even if you're 100% right, it's still not going to work. And especially with something like intuitive eating, I think, where it is very, has been traditionally very feminized, and all of the voices coming from intuitive eating space, just about everything is from a female perspective, and they present it in very much, I don't know of a better way to put it, but kind of a girl thing. Like it just has that vibe to it if you aren't open to really what's the content of the message. And so I think for a lot of guys, that can be really difficult to latch onto, because it's like, oh, my wife, and it's another one of these trends in the church with the Christian women getting them on board with the MLMs and the whatever latest women's Bible study, or those kinds of things. And right or wrong, I mean, I think that that's how a lot of guys, unfortunately, are going to hear it and just immediately tune it off. So I think that with intuitive eating, one of the cool things with the principles is that several of them are extremely practical. Mm-hmm. Honor your hunger, feel your fullness. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you can't get them to reject the diet mentality at first, there are some very practical things like, well, what's at the core of intuitive eating? Well, you can sort of leave out some of the other things at first and focus on some of those really practical things that us guys can really resonate with, like the hunger, fullness, satisfaction, and then you can present it from the perspective of, I mean, it just makes sense. God put this hunger in us for the purpose of survival, and he put the fullness, the satiety mechanisms in there so we don't eat more than what our body needs. I mean, it just makes sense. And so that can be kind of a good way to get started with it. And then, you know your spouse best, or your other family members, or if you're the guy and you're trying to get your wife on board, you know, however that would be, kind of find the low-hanging fruit. And just like it, you probably didn't come to it overnight yourself. Can't expect everybody else to either.
It's such a good reminder. And that's one I'm constantly in need of too, because I'm also the type of learner where I binge learn something, and mm-hmm. like I've taken it. I drink from the fire hose, y'all.
Yeah.
that's a learning style that doesn't work for some people. So expecting somebody else to get on my fire hose level is ridiculous and doesn't help the relationship. So, those were some really great points, though, starting with like the practical side of things. I think it's really helpful for women, because we probably haven't been thinking about how the men in our life are thinking about it. So that was just like, it kind of blew my mind. It makes so much sense. It's really obvious, and yet I had not thought of it. So thank you for saying it that way. That's massively helpful. And I think especially kind of leaning into the logic side of things, like this just makes sense. This is what we know mm-hmm. about the body. This is God's design. I feel like that does, now that you say it that way, that really does kind of resonate a little bit more male once we're thinking about the genders. So yeah, that's great advice. Thank you.
Well, but, and you know, the whole emotion thing, like as I sort of described my food story, I haven't struggled with body image beyond just kind of like, I got a little fat. I'm not particularly happy with that. It'd be kind of cool if I had abs. It hasn't consumed me. I mean, at the worst, I would say body checking was when I was doing the transformation challenges and really focused on more aesthetic goals. And I would look at my reflection in the mirror whenever I walked by or check. But I never became obsessed with it. It didn't distract from my... I wasn't getting up from work to go look at myself in the mirror and those kinds of things. So while there is excessive body checking, it never developed into what I would say would be a problem. I also, you know, I haven't been through, you know, I haven't been sexualized, you know, objectified in the workplace, or I haven't faced sexual assault. I haven't had, I haven't struggled with being in a body that's bigger than what society says is attractive. I haven't had people call me, you know, fatty or any, you know, I haven't had family members say, oh, should you be eating that and those kinds of things. So again, as a guy, when you're, you know, if you're sharing that this, how this intuitive eating thing resonates with you because of what you struggled with, if I haven't struggled with that, I'm like, I don't get it. You know, and so I think that's another really challenging area for us guys. Now, I think a lot more men struggle with body image and these kinds of things than we let on. Yeah. And that's something that's becoming definitely more talked about, which is good. But again, it comes back to what we were talking about there, too, is when the men in your life to understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, you still have to understand where they're coming from and why it can be really difficult for them to get on board with a completely different way of of thinking, especially if they're a very goal-driven kind of person, and if the voices that they're getting are pushing them into the go big or go home, or dieting and training hard and those kinds of things. If all of the guys in their life are speaking in that way, they don't necessarily want to go against that either, lose their man card, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I think so much of it comes back to showing up with grace. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of when I first started dieting and changing how I was eating and exercising, and it was all like very prideful, and you know, I was always making comments about food being bad for you and what you shouldn't eat, and you know, to my poor family, like I just was like mean about what they were eating. And so I always kind of think back to that, this kind of like pushing my disordered eating on the people around me and how that made them feel, to kind of, when I started learning intuitive eating, especially for my husband, he was in the military. He's always been an athlete, bodybuilder. So meeting a dietitian and I was telling him how to eat, he was all about it. And mm-hmm. So, you know, he jumped on all my diety things and did exactly what I told him to do. And so when I was realizing like, oh, this isn't helpful, this is actually quite disordered, and I was kind of working on coming out of that, he was very much like, what? Like, you taught me everything I knew, no, and like, now you're changing it up on me. And like, I don't even know how to go there. And same thing with so much of my family. And I just, even now, I just find, you know, just show up with grace. And I, you know, this is what I'm doing, because, you know, this was my experience trying to diet or change my body. And, mm-hmm. you know, and that really didn't work for me. Or just kind of saying, like, you know, like, okay, like, if that's what you want to do, you know, but like, here was my experience and this is what I'm doing. And I found that just kind of eating meals with my family mm-hmm. in that nuance, like over time, even if they still kind of subscribe to maybe some of the beliefs about body size or, you know, good food, bad food, like even if they still subscribe to some of that stuff, I see some stuff rubbing off on them. Mm-hmm. I see some stuff rubbing off on them of like, maybe it's more just like accepting, like, it's okay to eat these foods.
Yeah.
Like less of the like binging because this is bad. I see a little bit more of like, oh, well, we have this stuff around often. In the beginning, my family was really like, why are you buying this stuff and having it in the house? We don't. And I kind of like forced them into habituation, right? Like, well, we know Charlie's going to buy this stuff. So,
yeah.
So, you know, even if you're not having these like very forward conversations and like, I'm going to teach you the principles of intuitive eating, they just kind of notice the change in you, and it might look nice, and, mm-hmm. and they might think, oh, maybe there is something to this.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because I think the fitness industry has been, a lot of this stuff has been rubbing off on them. They're co-opting a lot of these things. Yes. You know, I have a lot of friends who are standard fat loss coaches and that kind of thing. And it's interesting to see the message from when I first met them and how they've transitioned. They're still coaching that way, but now it's, you know, it's very much trendy, I guess, to say, you know, follow my method and you get to eat what you love and nothing is off limits and you can still lose weight. So they're co-opting that but applying. And I think a lot of that is rubbing off, or they were seeing that, okay, this restrictive approach, this clean eating approach was something that it wasn't working for most people. And so they're starting to apply some of these principles, and unfortunately they're missing out on a number of these other principles that could really help people. But I think that same kind of thing applies, and I've seen that with a number of people where they've picked up some of those things that that are characteristics of intuitive eating.
Yeah. So Jeff, I want you to round us out here on the male perspective on intuitive eating principles by ending it with the principle on exercise, feel the difference is the old way of saying it. We have been calling that joyful movement. And so can you just talk a little bit about what resonates for guys and what might be a helpful way to bring up that shift in how we're looking at exercise and movement?
Yeah, and that's a really good question. And I think that it's really important to look at the individual, because I think a lot of guys who grew up, especially if they grew up around sports and stuff, the idea of serious training, structured training, going, you know, leaving a puddle of sweat on the floor, being sore the next day, that's not a negative. Like, you know, so I think it's really easy, and this is one of the messages that we hear a lot in intuitive eating from when it's coming from the female perspective and from the perspective of disordered eating and eating disorder recovery, is that they've developed this really bad relationship with physical activity, and so they're having to undo that. And I find that to be less common with the guys that I've been working with, is that they're which is great that I'm a personal trainer also, because most of the guys want a training program too. And I emphasize, hey, if this is not something, I don't want you to feel like you have to do this. And they're like, no, I thrive on it. I love that. I really enjoy going to the gym, and I enjoy lifting heavy weights, or I enjoyed, you know, these different kinds of goals. And so, from that perspective, I think that's one of the bigger differences that I've really noticed in working with women and working with men. And I think we need to just go with it. I mean, if the guy does say, hey, I'm really not that thrilled with a structured training program and I don't want to make such a big deal about it, cool. Emphasize that. That's okay. The important thing is that you're just kind of active. You know, you're going to get all the health benefits from just really moving your body more. And if that brings you more enjoyment than training, then fantastic. But at the same time, if they want to do that, they can still do all of the other principles of intuitive eating while also being a hardcore power lifter or training program. I mean, I do Ninja Warrior training when my shoulder is recovering right now. I enjoy that. And I've always enjoyed structured training and having goals and competing. You know, I used to compete in karate and those kinds of things. And for me, that was joyful, getting punched in the face and kicked in the stomach and working hard for those goals. And so I think it's one of those things where if you do have, I guess that can be a challenge if you have a family situation where you're trying to get away from that mentality that I have to exercise, where you have a husband who is like, well, like you said, military, hard, it may be very much into that, and that may be super joyful for them. So,
yeah, and that's, you know, it's the exercise piece is a huge part of my story. I mean, that's how my husband and I met. That's what we did together. And I loved it until, like, it was a very help. Like, I loved it until it became, like, obsessive and my identity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've talked a lot about how I had to, like, step away to make it not my identity anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think because of working a lot with eating disorders and a lot of the messaging with intuitive eating and recovery and all of that, it was almost like it took me a long time to give myself permission to really enjoy powerlifting and like all of this stuff that I really did enjoy before I didn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I've been coming back to, I like part of my joyful movement is these really hard training sessions or this powerlifting, and I like it and I'm in a good place with it. So I think, you know, you're right on that. This, the whole point of this is that you know your body and, you know what Holy Spirit is leading you in, like, you know what works for you. And so you have to meet people where they are and help them discover what kind of movement works for you. Which always takes me back to, I had this exercise physiology instructor in college, and we were all arguing over like what the best exercise is, like what the best workout is, you know. And she said, you know, honestly, the best exercise for your client is the exercise they're going to do.
Yep.
And I remember being like, what? Like, but it's so true. Like, it's find what you're going to be able to do consistently.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's one of the things I try and emphasize with them too, is when I'm putting together their training program, I guess one way that I emphasize, you were asking about the joyful movement part, one of the ways I emphasize that without necessarily trying to steer them away from it is, what do you like to do? Tell me the exercises you like to do. And I'll give them the example often that I hate lunges and I really don't do them. I like, but for some bizarre reason, I'm okay with rear elevated split squats. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, those are fine. So I just do those because they work the same muscles. And also, I'm not an elite athlete. I am not a professional athlete. And so I kind of emphasize the fact that there may be certain things that your buddies are like, oh, well, you have to do that because you know, it's just necessary evil. It's like, no, you don't. There's so many things. If you don't like to squat, use a leg press. Is it ideal? Is it optimal for this or that? No, but who cares? Yeah. And I think sometimes hearing that, that it's okay to not train like a professional athlete, which I think is one of the things that a lot of people get caught up in. You have to eat like a elite athlete and have to train like one. It's like, no, you don't. You just find what works and what you enjoy, and you're going to enjoy it a lot more.
That's so good. The other guy who's listening just heard he does not have to train like an elite athlete, and that is some amazing permission.
Yes.
Go tell the man in your life, ladies. You don't need to be a professional elite athlete. Just find what you enjoy and do that. Oh, my goodness. Well, Jeff, this has been really fun. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your male point of view. It is so needed in this conversation. And do we have some? We like to wrap up with some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
And then we'll have you tell everybody where to connect with you. But first, coffee or tea, and how do you take it?
Oh, definitely tea, no sugar, nothing in it. I don't really drink tea very much anyway. This is my coffee. We're on video here, so this was a rock star energy drink. Okay. That's my quote coffee. So.
All right.
Excellent. Whitewater rafting or lazy river floating?
It depends on the day. I definitely like the adrenaline stuff. I used to be a competitive climber and had done some free soloing and, you know, those kinds of things. And I love adventure stuff. And so, yeah, I would say whitewater rafting usually, but I'll take the other two.
Yeah. audiobooks or print books?
Oh man, audiobooks probably. Yeah, I do like listening. I read too slow. I read at like the same speed that I talk. So I'm a good reader, but I don't read very fast. So that gets frustrating for me.
What are you listening to right now?
Well, there's this one podcast called Intuitive Eating for Christian Women. That's pretty good. Yeah. But no, I listen to a number of podcasts. I do. And interestingly enough, I listen to Intuitive Eating podcasts, but I also listen to standard fitness podcasts as well, because I really like to get a good perspective. So I like to listen to some nutrition science ones and strength training podcasts and stuff like that. That, you know, they are very weight centered, but there's still a lot of good science information that I learn. And again, since I haven't personally struggled with the eating disorder side of things, that stuff's not triggering for me. I can sort of filter it in and out. But yeah, podcasts are probably what I listen to more than anything, and that kind of thing. Yeah.
What's your favorite meal currently? I know these things change.
Yeah, that's a My all-time favorite food is New Mexican food, specifically, not Tex-Mex. I live in Texas, but, and it's okay, but New Mexican food, there's just a certain flavor profile to it that's definitely my favorite. So I'd say that that's my favorite meal, but anything New Mexican food.
And your favorite place to vacation?
I would say Hawaii was definitely our favorite. We've been there a couple of times, but my wife and I go every year to a cabin in the Blue Ridge Mountains in Georgia. So, and we go for a week, and it's just off in a remote top of a mountain away from everybody. And so really anything with mountains, trees, and nature is my favorite. I'm okay with beaches, but really I really like the mountain aspect of things the best.
Me too.
Awesome.
Well, Jeff, it has been such a blessing getting to know you a little bit. And I hope that this is just the start of a conversation with you. We need some more male voice. We know that. So very awesome. Would you mind praying us out, Jeff?
No, not at all. Lord, we thank you for this time together, this great conversation where we're able to talk a bit about intuitive eating and this just is a different way of looking at our relationship with food and approach to health and well-being. And my prayer is that more men would be open to the idea of this, that they would be more supportive of the women in their life that may be trying to do this and hopefully get on board with it themselves. I pray for wisdom for those who may be struggling in their own intuitive eating journey and getting their family on board, whether it's a husband or friends or children or, you know, a father, uncle, whatever it is in their life that's making it challenging. And just pray that you give them wisdom to know how to navigate those situations, and also patience and grace and understanding that it often takes us guys a little while to come along and to wrap our heads around certain things. Lord, we just thank you for any opportunity to talk about you and to talk about your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, girl. This episode of the Intuitive Eating for Christian Women podcast was brought to you by our Intuitive Eating for Christian Women membership. Are you surrounded by people who are still stuck in diet culture and don't understand that you're trying to break free? You don't have to do this alone. We all need support and sisterhood to walk this out. So come on over, link arms with other women, and feel empowered and equipped to follow Jesus on this path. If you're ready to invest in your faith-based intuitive eating journey and invest in relationships with like-minded Christian women, then come join us. You can learn more at our website, intuitiveeatingforchristianwomen.com/membership. That's intuitiveeatingforchristianwomen.com/membership. We'll see you there.